Hey, everybody. I hope we're live and I'm not talking to myself. It's Norm Farrar, a.k.a. The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm Rise of the Micro Brands. Today,
Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm.
And today we changed the format, and I think we forgot that we changed the format. So anyways, there's the first blooper of a live broadcast, so there you go. Anyways, today's guest is a returning guest, and she's going to be talking about some social media coming up or leading up to fourth quarter, and it's social media expert Cassandra Craven from Helium 10. So, Kelsey, where are you?
Anyways,
my bad.
That's okay. We'll do it next time.
I'll roll with it.
We got to roll with it. Yeah.
Next time.
So if this was the first one we did, I'd be in the fetal position. But yeah, I'm wrong. I got a little bit of sweat. Yeah. So we're going to be broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube as well as LinkedIn. And if you are watching this on a replay, you can just skip ahead. If you're watching this on my Facebook or my profile page in Facebook, why don't you go over to Norm Farrar, a.k.a. The Beard Guy. Watch it there. There's a ton more content, lots of video, just the clips, as well as the whole podcast. So, Kelsey.
Yes, that's right. So anything that goes up here on Lunch with Norm, it goes directly over to YouTube. The full episodes, we have a playlist you can go through. And we have short clips that go up every day, so you can always find that. If you're really into the social media aspects or the Amazon or entrepreneurship, we got all the playlists listed for you. And yep, follow us on social media. We've got Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Pinterest, whatever your heart desires. And we are an official podcast, so you can find us on Apple and Spotify too. And yes, and if you're watching right now, hit that like button, please, and enjoy the show.
Smash it.
Maybe
ring,
hit it.
Ring a bell.
Ring the bell. Stuff. Yes.
All the stuff I don't know about. I'm an old guy.
All right, and okay, Simon is joining us again.
Oh, hey, Simon. How's it going?
As well as Lisa over at Nova.
Hey, Lisa.
Hello. Welcome. And that's it for me.
Okay. So if you do have any questions, just put them over in the comment section and we'll get to them either during the podcast or right after. So it's that time. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. So welcome, Cassandra.
Hi, Norm. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Okay, I love your new intro music. That really got me like ready and hyped
up. You were going?
Oh, yeah. That was good. I love it. I'm also happy to be part of the first blooper episode.
Well, no, there's many blooper episodes. Matter of fact, you could do a whole Lunch with Norm blooper.
Highly recommend.
Not a professional interviewer. I can really mess up.
No, you're doing great. You fooled me, and I look forward to the highlight reel.
Oh, yeah, and there's a few. The guys, Hayden and Kelsey, have put together a few bloopers, and
it's currently in progress.
Yeah, I'm paying them weekly not to show it. So
wait until you need it's like sweeps week. Wait until you need the hype. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. So good. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh man, I had too many cigars. I won last night and now I'm coughing up a storm. I am gonna try to hit the mute button every time I try to cough. But Cassandra, for those of us who don't know who you are, can you give us a little bit about your background?
Of course. I'm Cassandra Craven. I am the social media manager for Helium 10 Software. I have experience in film, television, advertising. I've worked for daytime court shows, IMAX studios. I have a ton of experience, lots of social media insight to share, and I'm so excited to be here and talk with you, Norm.
That is the quickest I've ever heard you whip through your bio.
Every time I always think I'm ready and then I just kind of wing it, you know?
Perfect. Okay. So today when I reached out, we didn't know when Prime Day was.
Right.
So we were going to be talking about Black Friday and Cyber Monday, but I'd like to touch a little bit on we're a week away from Prime Day. Is there anything that you can talk about to help us out with social media or getting exposure for Prime Day?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, we didn't know when the dates were going to be solidified for Prime Day. Now we do. And really, it's kicking off Q4 shopping holiday season. And what people really need to know is start advertising now. If you're not advertising already, start now. Everyone is shopping more online than ever before. And so you really want to make sure you're on top of your game. What I was originally going to go through in terms of Black Friday were tips straight from Twitter. They talked about how to boost your e-commerce, Cyber Monday sales. And the first tip was definitely to advertise early, which I think we all can kind of get on board with that. We're definitely looking to get ahead, a jump on the game, outsmart our competitions, if you will. The next tip that I think was super valuable was to make sure that you are showcasing the best of the best. People are shopping now earlier than ever. They're obviously going to wait until the 13th and 14th for Prime Day to get their shopping going, as well as Black Friday, Cyber Monday. So they're looking now. We're at home. People are working from home. They have a lot more downtime on their lunch breaks, things like that. So make sure that you are getting your inventory and showcasing it as early as possible and highlighting the best of the best on your social media profiles.
Right. And even now, you could do a pre-Prime Day sale or something like that. Yeah. To jump the line.
Exactly. Exactly. There's just, and so many things, especially with something like this coming up so quickly and having a quick turnaround time, really make sure everything is up to date. Something that happened to me actually around this time last year, not Prime Day, but more Black Friday sale. We were actually shopping. Well, I was shopping for Helium 10's holiday party, and the theme was Roaring 20s. And I found a dress on Amazon and I was ready. I went to their social media profiles. I got a coupon code. I was ready to go. I thought, man, I got a deal. I got this great dress. And when I went through shopping and, you know, checked out, I actually was charged full price. And I thought, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? I got this coupon code off your social media channels. What's up? So I contacted the seller and she said, oh, that was actually from Easter. That was like a spring break sale. That shouldn't have even been on there. And I kind of thought, well, not my problem. You should still right. You need to honor this coupon code. But that's something that I think about too, of make sure you're looking at your social media profiles like a customer. I think you can get too in your own head or in your own profiles and stuff starts to kind of, you know, you get a little jaded to it. You start to not see certain things or things don't pop out to you like they would if you're a new or, you know, customer that's coming back to your social profiles or returning customer. So you really want to look for those things. You want to do a social media audit, if you will. Make sure everything's up to date. Make sure you're not giving out expired coupon codes or offers that should have been discontinued months ago, things like that, because you're going to lose out in the long run. So you want to make sure you're on top of your social media game.
So when you're doing a code like that, you should probably put on the post valid until just to cover off. The other thing, have you ever done this? Used Usability Hub, or I'm not even sure if PicFu will do this, but split test the posts that you're doing for any of the holidays.
Oh, I've never done that, but I think PicFu has the ability to do so. I got to talk with PicFu actually right before we went into quarantine, and they had just told me some things that blew my mind about how you can split test, and especially moving up into the holidays, really seeing what people are resonating with, what they're gravitating towards. So I think PicFu, I can't confirm, but I would assume they could do that. But definitely split testing is always a great option. You always want to make sure that you are testing things out, seeing what people resonate more with in terms of not just the content itself, but how you're presenting that content. So are people gravitating towards your video content more? Are they gravitating towards a carousel post with multiple images, a boomerang? Does your Instagram stories take off better than in feed? So really look at all those other options. So it's not really split testing. It's a four-way split test, spawned out across multiple mediums and channels.
Right. So we talk about this in Amazon Posts. And remember, Amazon Posts and Amazon Live, they're social media. There's social media, there's a way to build your brand on Amazon. And so when you are posting, or if you are getting images from influencers, or if you're doing something, as long as it's within terms, remember that you can post on Amazon Post or get your videos, any not testimonials, but we're just doing a knife, and we've got chefs making recipes, and we're putting them on Amazon Live, and it's very inexpensive to do. So is also information or posts that you could put onto social media, or you might already have the social media to do that. But one of the things that we do with Amazon posts, and you can carry this right over to any of the social media, is to, like you were just talking about, test. And that's test the ratios. So in Amazon posts, it's 1:1, 16:9, and 4:3. Yep. But it's also vertical or horizontal. And then you can take the different types of content that you have. Let's say you have 4 or 5 different types. Maybe you have more. And then post it. And at least in Amazon, you can see somewhat of the reporting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And definitely. I guess that's the same with any other platform. Like, play around with it. Play around with the content. Yeah. What do you find, like right now, what do you think would work best if you're not going into an ad and you just want to do this organically? Let's say that you have a product and you have a very limited budget.
Definitely. So another thing that came from Twitter, which I thought was genius, was doing gift guides. And I think people are scrambling now for kind of what are these COVID, what are people looking for in quarantine, or if they're in isolation, you know, people aren't traveling as much, or they're not going on vacations and things like that. So maybe that traveler friend that you have isn't going somewhere. So maybe getting this person, you know, a carrying case or things like that isn't going to work out as well as a gift that would have worked out pre-COVID. So gift guides, I think, are a genius way and an inexpensive way to really branch out your brand and showcase all that you have to offer and increase sales. So it's kind of saying, hey, if you're interested in this, maybe you'll be interested in this. Create those customer avatars. Who are you looking for? You know, who do you want to shop for? Age range, demographic, interest, things like that. And how can your product benefit the person you're shopping for? Really let them into the lifestyle, if you will. That's something I'm always a big advocate of you're not really just pushing out a brand, you're pushing out a lifestyle, regardless of what your product is. How does this product fit into your customer's lifestyle or the person they're buying for? And that's what I think is the most important thing to keep in mind when you're curating your content, when you're posting. Look for who's actually buying these things and put together an entire gift guide. It's like a gift basket of goodies on social media, if you will, Norm.
You are the only person I know talking about gift guides. They're oh my God, they're the most like right now it's October. It's getting late for gift guides.
Yeah. But
we have 2,500 gift guides that we've targeted depending on the niche. And get this. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying this is what happened. We got onto Rachel Ray. We got in onto Wendy Williams. We got onto these tons of other media channels. There is what we've applied, we haven't seen, but we're Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil. There is like 20 different media outlets that we're going to be featured on with different products that we represent. So that's by gift guides and just reaching out. So if you're not doing it, and it's free. Oh,
it's
no,
free.
No, I have to give them a gnome. You know, I mean, yeah, it's free.
Well, you know, Norm gnomes are always a hot commodity. So okay. I get that.
Just off topic.
Of course.
Go on to Amazon. This is not mine. This is called Norm the Gnome.
Genius.
Yep.
Genius. I know. I wish it was yours though. Because
I wish too.
You've cornered the market on that. You've brought it to life. So I'm sure he's very thankful for you being in the space.
Well, yeah. The kids call me Santa Claus. Everybody, you know, compares me to the Travelocity gnome. But anyways.
Oh, my God. That's so perfect. I love that. You have a Halloween costume then. You have Halloween, Christmas. You're ready to go. You're already booked up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got my own mask. I don't have to worry about it. Just tuck it under my glasses. All set. And on that note, so with all the challenges that brands have this year with COVID-19, are there any strategies that you would work with on social media?
Well, I think one thing that brands are going to have to anticipate and plan accordingly for are definitely COVID challenges, whether that's shipping or things being out of stock or delayed. Anything could happen. I mean, it's 2020. You can't predict anything nowadays. So really, you want to be prepared. And I think you want to be really transparent with your customers. If anything, I think that's the biggest strategy you're going to want to put into place, because that's customer advocacy, customer loyalty. People are going to trust you. It's your brand. It's your name on the line. So definitely just keep it real. And this is where I think a lot of times people get kind of, there's a lot going on. It's the holiday season, working from home. We've been cooped up for a while. If they have their package delayed or someone misses a birthday or something's delayed, you can bet they're going to take right to social media and, you know, it's not, maybe not have the most positive message. So you want to make sure you get ahead of that. You want to have a strategy in place. You want to have communications in place, and you want to make sure that not only yourself, but your team or whoever is handling your customer service representatives, you have that phase one, phase two, phase three. What can you say? What's the frontline defense? What's the follow-up? What's the final resolution and how you can get this going? Because I think this is a crucial time for how people will perceive your brand during something with such heightened emotions and just a really unique time in the world in general. So you want to make sure that you have that loyalty in place and have a strategy in place for how you'll be communicating any challenges that your brand may encounter, any delays, things like that. Because I think the last thing you want to see on social media with everything going on is a negative message in your comment section, you know, trashing you for being, you know, a delay in your shipping or something like that. So you want to make sure that you're on top of it. You're respectful of that. You understand that you're communicating that you're trying to do everything that you can to deliver on time and get things going.
Yeah, I think it's important that people realize that the customer experience. So you've got, let's say you spend a lot of time and money on, you know, your product optimization, your listing optimization, yep. You have this really great package. It doesn't end there. So, you know, you want to buy your own package just to make sure that it looks good and, you know, see what it looks like. But you can, if you're not on top of customer service, everything that you've worked for just went down the tube. So that 5-star just goes down to a 3-star because of poor or lacking customer service. So,
and it's, I mean, how many times, Norm, I feel like just as a customer myself, that's a make or break for me. If I feel that a customer, even a brand that I love, even if I love their clothes or their accessories or whatever I'm purchasing, if I have bad customer service, that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And I just think this is not the time. Things are so precarious right now. Again, COVID, quarantine, unpredictable times, if you will. So now is not the time to leave a bad taste in anyone's mouth with poor customer service, if you will.
Right. Absolutely. So like on that note, what are some suggestions that we can give to the listeners about communicating with their customers on social media?
Oh, definitely. I say go live as much as you can, especially Instagram stories, just kind of highlighting what the procedures are in place, what you plan to benefit and give your product to, what you're talking about and how you want to convey that to your customers and your listeners. So talk about the advertisements that you have coming up, any specials or discounts, things like that. Go live, chat with them, talk with them. This is a great time to talk to mass amounts of people, but also one-on-one. If you're doing an Instagram live, you can bring them on the live chat. People can ask their questions directly to you. You can talk to them about all the exciting offers that you have coming up. So really just go to those live chats. I think that's a great communication strategy. I'm always a big fan of Instagram. I love Instagram. It's my favorite platform. Another great feature that I always see a lot of success with is the question feature in the Instagram story as well. So you can either have a curated graphic that you post to the story, or you can just create it in app and have people ask their questions directly. And what I love about that is if there's one person asking a question, it's more than likely speaking volumes for many other people. So one person asking answers 100 questions, which saves you time. We're all busy people. Social media never stops. E-commerce is 24/7. And so if you can answer as many questions, kind of kill two birds with one stone, it's a great strategy to do so. So take those customer questions, go live, talk with them, especially now before things get too hectic. You know, Prime Day is next week. So you have between now and Monday really to convey any messaging that you want. And then between then and Black Friday, Cyber Monday, really talk about what you have going on, how you can talk to people one-on-one. If they need to know something about a discount code or shipping or locations, anything at all, now's the time to communicate with them one-on-one.
Great info. Kelsey.
You're the best.
Yes.
Thank you. And you too. Okay. I can't see, but can you tell us any of the questions that are out there?
Of course. Yes. We have Wasim joining us as well. We have Yarrow back. He's coming in from Amsterdam.
Welcome.
Michelle is watching from New Jersey.
Hello, Michelle.
And let's see. Vishal is calling you the Beard Man.
Beard Man.
Nathan and Dr. Kaz have all joined too.
Nice. Very good. Nice to see y'all.
Some of our regulars. All right.
Hashtag Beard Man. That may be a
Beard Man.
Get it started, people.
Yeah, hashtag Beard Man. I like it.
All right. So, Simon, Prime Day is a big deal in the US, but are European consumers as well informed about these big selling days? We have about like three more questions after this.
Okay.
So, Prime Day is a big day in the US, European customers as well as informed. Norm, what are your thoughts on that? I'm going to pass it to you for a minute.
I think it is the day that what's really crazy about this year is we don't know if it's the Black Friday, if it's going to be the Black Friday. And if my biggest concern is inventory, if you don't have the inventory in stock and you're trying to ship it, depending where you're shipping it, it could take forever to get in for Black Friday. So like Kevin King was on the other day and he was talking, inventory is king. You've got no pun intended, but you know, have your FBA, FBM listings, you know, in like with your warehouse ready to go. I'm really not sure if this Prime Day is going to be that day that just wipes out everybody and you have incredible sales and Black Friday is lower because everybody's done their, it's 1 month away.
It's interesting.
Everybody's talking about Prime Day and it's going to be the most exciting. It just might be a shift. I don't know.
Yeah. Agreed.
You got to be prepared.
You have to be prepared. That's the number one thing. But I am interested too, to see how this all kind of plays out, especially with just the timelines and the quick turnaround. Like you said, just getting prepared and making sure that you're ready and you're on top of everything.
Yeah. And being well-informed in Europe. If you're selling in the US market, it is the day that you should be out there. You should be promoting. Oh, and by the way, let's say you're not an Amazon seller, or if you're on Amazon, but you also have your other website. So we have a website for like just one of the products that we have added value. So if people go over, they can get a product, but they can't get it on Amazon. It's specific to the website. So we're driving traffic over to the website and promoting Prime Day special that you can't get on Amazon. It's a Prime Day for the website alone. So people are going to go over there to check it out, because when you have Prime Day, doesn't mean that you can't have your own Prime Day, you know, on your website. And you can also, it could be a double sale, because you could get somebody to buy that special product, but then from there, give them the coupon to go over to your website and get it there. So there's different angles that you can use with this. But if you're a European seller selling in the UK or in the US, this is definitely the day that you've got to promote. This is And don't, the other thing about Prime Day or Black Friday, some people, we had Tim Ferriss on the other day and Francis on, and he was talking about knowing your numbers.
Oh yeah.
And I've seen it. I've seen one company in the jewelry area that they sold $750,000 on Black Friday. They probably lost money. I wasn't privy to the numbers. I was privy to that. But looking at their sale, they probably lost money. So you don't have to give away the farm. You don't have to give away 50% off, 30% off. You know, people are looking for deals. As long as you're giving a deal, that's great. And you've got to protect your PPC budget too.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't just go out of the gates with high bids because, a matter of fact, I don't know about you, Cassandra, but I like bidding higher towards the end of the day when I'm picking up everybody else, like when everybody else is looking for product that's already sold out.
That's a good strategy, Norm. You know, we do have our in-house, I'm going to give a little plug here. Vince Montero would know all of our PPC insider knowledge. So I'll have to ask him and then get back to you. I'll message you in the comments. Yeah.
Perfect.
casual plug.
There we go. And what was his name again?
Vince Montero. Yes. You can find him on, but he is on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, connect with him. You should have him on, Norm, next time. He's a great, he's a really fun guy to talk to.
I just saw him talking on one of the Helium 10 podcasts. That was my plan. I'll reach out and definitely talk to him.
Awesome. He'd love it.
So, Kels, there was other questions.
Yes, we have one from Yaro. How to balance my social media Insta posts with his own product photos. We don't have many photos. How much should we use general posts, like 5 best ideas of something or posts like that? Thanks.
What I would say to that is evaluate what you already have. Evaluate your content. And see how it would play into what platforms you're looking to post on. So you mentioned Instagram. If it's a kind of Shutterstock looking image, it may not perform as well. And people may tune it out when they see it in your feed. I always think lifestyle imagery does a lot better. Norm, you and I talked, you touched on this a little bit ago about influencers or content creators, anything that you can get from your customers, UGC content, that would always benefit you the most. And it really doesn't cost you as much, especially UGC content. That's really saying, how does your product fit into your customer's lifestyle? Please share a photo and tag us. And it really just expands your inventory or repertoire of content, if you will. So you can have your main images and then see how you can balance it out with UGC content, influencer content, so that resonates more, especially specifically speaking to Instagram. That's where that content really resonates with people looking for inspiration, aspirational content, things that they can use for their home decor, kitchen utensils, fashion, whatever it may be. They want to see how it fits into other people's lifestyles and how it's going to fit into theirs. So I would definitely lean more heavier on lifestyle imagery and influencer UGC content for in-feed.
And like you said, with lifestyle, that doesn't mean going over to Shutterstock, getting somebody that looks like they're holding something 10 times bigger than it is, and you know it's a fake.
They're always going to want, you know, I love a production value behind things, of course. And I think especially I'm a perfectionist. So I'm always like, oh, what's perfect? What looks great? But what I found in my career, whether it's in television or advertising, people actually gravitate towards lesser quality photos. I'm not advocating putting out low quality, but it's so crazy. People are always, I think it's because it looks like it's something your friends are posting. It looks like it's something that it's someone in your own network that you know, and they start to just tune out all these like polished, perfect images because they think it's just a brand. It's an advertisement. It's a commercial. It's, you know, whatever. But yeah, in everything that I've ever done, the most highly organic looking photos always perform the best. So
poor lighting. The shadows are horrible. Yeah. Candid photos, because it looks like, well, it's real social proof. Yep. And exactly. I was just going to say, just before you said that, if you take a polished image, a product shot, and you put it out, and then you put a candid image of somebody, either an open box or somebody using your product, man, that's going to get so much more engagement.
So much more.
Yeah.
Everything. It always surprises me. And I think there's this, we're always looking for this like perfectionism with content creation and creative designers and things like that. But really, it's so, like you said, poor lighting or maybe a little out of focus, you know, bad symmetry, everyone, they gravitate towards it. It'll go off the charts usually. So, yep. You know, not my favorite thing, but it's real.
But remember, that's opposite on your listing. So on your listing,
Of course.
Yeah, you want to make sure that your listing has great product photography. The infographics are great. But you can absolutely 100% use this for your Amazon posts.
Yep.
And you'll get the exact same response. So like we'll use, what is it? Features and benefits. So we'll do a feature, we'll do a benefit, we'll do, we've done accreditation where we've sent out product to a school, and on the graduation, we'll have the graduates take pictures with the product. That's we've amazing. Sent it out to industry specialists. You can't do this on posts, but you can send out surveys, promos, testimonials. It's about different content.
Yep. Really experimenting, like you said, pick food, split testing, just check it out, you know, kind of get those insights and see what people gravitate towards more.
I can tell you another thing too. There's different types of influencers, and you know all about this, but there's a nano influencer, and those are those nano influencers are between 1 and 10,000. Micro influencers are between 10,000 and 100,000. Your influencer that usually only shows up once, you pay them big bucks, and then they take a picture and they put it on their, like a Kylie, you know?
Oh, I know. I've seen her too.
You definitely pay big time. People like it. They might like it. They might not like it. But then you have your brand ambassador, which is an influencer.
Yes.
One of the tricks that we do, we tend to go towards the nano. Because when they post something, it's to their friends. And, if they're using this, I got to check it. Everybody else is, a lot of people are going to these other much more expensive, but they're not as effective. And, you know, they feel that, they're just not that big of a reach. Well, if their friends like it and then they're posting, you could get so much. And those are the people that you can turn into brand ambassadors. And brand ambassadors, that's a whole other ball game. If you get a brand ambassador, they're taking photos, they're writing articles, they're promoting the heck out of you on their blogs.
You can't ask for better promotion.
Absolutely.
And I love that you, another thing too, with nano micro influencers, things like that, it's a lot less likely that they're going to have any fake followers. So you know exactly what you're getting into. I'm sure you remember a couple of years ago, Instagram, Facebook did like a sweep of, getting out fake followers, fake influencers, anyone following that was like these bot accounts or spam accounts. And all the celebrities and influencers took a big hit. There was, a substantial decrease in all of their followership. Whereas people who were in those micro influencer networks, it was more genuine. Everyone was friends. There were colleagues. They were associates. Everyone knew everyone. They were genuine accounts. And so that's just going to be better for your brand. It's, it's the same thing as buying followers. Do you want a million followers that are fake and spam bots? Or do you want, 100 real followers that are going to invest in your product and invest in your content?
Right. Yeah. And you know what? I was talking to Kelsey about this, about building our own organic listing on Instagram. So it's been, 4 or 5 months, and it's been growing and it's been growing. And it's like, Kels, can we not get 10,000 followers? Like, why do other people? And he's saying, Dad, you don't understand. They'll be fake. And it's a slower way, but we've got great engagement with the people on our Instagram campaign or account, and they're real. It's just something completely different than seeing, I've got 100,000 users and you don't interact or engage.
I feel like it would hurt more to have a large following and then you only have 20 likes, because everyone's like, wait, what's going on here? And then Kelsey, I'm sure you understand this too. My biggest fear is getting shut down. Could you imagine putting all this work into your Instagram account and then they block you and shut you down?
Thank you. And they can people can tell too. They'll go to your site and they'll see you have 8,000 followers, and you've only been up for a couple months, this doesn't make sense. And then it also messes with all of your insights too, as well.
Oh, 100%. And then people also go through and they'll compare. I do that all the time. I'm like, you've got 100,000 on Instagram and you have 20 on Facebook. That's interesting. you know what I mean? People know. They're always looking for the receipts. You know what I mean? They're all investigative journalists on social media nowadays.
And so I got shut down, by the way. So he didn't do the 10,000.
Good. I support Kelsey for sure.
Team Kelsey. Start the hashtag. Hashtag Team Kelsey. Yep. Just to let you guys know, it's 35. We're at the 35-minute mark. We do have some questions. If we can just like rapid fire them.
Maybe. Okay.
All right. First was about the gift guides. When you went on the shows, how much did it increase your sales, if you don't mind?
Well, put it this way. One of our clients is in Wirecutter, which is owned by the New York Times. They picked this product on their own. It wasn't even given to them. Okay. They voted this number one in category. So they go out 4 times a year and they promote the product. The increase in sales is $100,000 during that time period. So that's what one like really well-established review site will do. If you're going on to a Rachel Ray, or if you get into Good or Better Housekeeping, or it's interest. Well, here's a fact, and I don't even like talking about these numbers, but it's an industry fact. With public relations, and you go and you get a do follow link, or you, like if you're out there in an article, like let's say it's Better Housekeeping or whatever it is, the industry fact is you will get 50 to 100 times ROI. When I'm talking to clients about that, I have to bring that down. I say 10 times, but over the lifetime, because it never comes down. And it's always there, and you're always getting promotion. So when you're working with on the public relations / press release side, man, you can get some great exposure, especially if they're in major magazines. Have you ever gone that route, Cassandra?
I haven't, but I think it's a great way to do it. It's a great strategy, a great tactic. And from what you told me, I'm just listening and I'm so inspired. And I'm like, oh my God, this is genius. So yes, I think it's a great, Norm, I want you to know, I come on here and I learn from you, just so you know. I think it's supposed to be the other way around, but I'm learning from you.
Oh no, I should actually shut up and just let you talk.
No, I agree. Go with what Norm said.
Tim's just quickly asking, are you getting brands that you work with on PR Reach into those gift guides?
We put out a mailer, and the ones that wanted to are doing them right now. Right now, we had a cutoff at the end of September, but you can always check yourself. Like, you can go on the internet. You don't have to go through PR Reach or a public relations company. You can go on the internet and see if there's any that are still accepting for October. But keep this in mind. Any holidays that come up, there's gift guides. And this is just a whole other line item that you can use for your marketing. And, you know, it costs a little bit, like if you're going to a service, but if you want to do it on yourself, it's completely free except for the rebate. There's usually no charge.
Okay. And Nathan, does Cassandra have any tips on getting your product on Pinterest?
Hi, Nathan. Here would be my advice for Pinterest. This is where you can definitely get your aspirational content and create, again, a lifestyle, what product goes with the next product? What can you kind of bundle together to create a cohesive look and aspirational product, if you will, for all of what you're selling? So I would definitely get pinned boards going for what products go together, where they can be used in terms of if it's for travel or kitchen or lifestyle or fashion products, whatever it may be. Definitely get those boards going and use it for aspirational content. I think that's what a lot of people come to Pinterest for. And they're looking for that. How does this work into it? Oh, what can I strive for with this product? How will this product fit into my life and take me to the next level? So that's my recommendation for Pinterest.
Okay. And we got three more. We'll just quickly go through. Dr. Kaz, most challenging thing with social is audience, growing audience and getting eyeballs. Can you please provide some tips on increasing social audience?
I would say, so I've always been a big advocate. I mentioned it earlier, Instagram. I think Instagram is a really great connection for connecting with people instantly, and especially the Instagram story. This is where I think that discoverability really comes into place, and people are always flipping through. They're looking for new ideas, new content. You can get on the Explorer page. Something I also talked about previously with when Instagram Reels came out. So Instagram is really focusing on content creators. So really having a niche and creating cool content around your product is going to get more eyeballs on your product and your pages, because that's what Instagram is subtly rewarding people for now. That's what their big focus is. You can't have ads to, you can't run paid social to Instagram Reels yet. So they're really advocating for content creators.
And the, if you weight things, so right now live is probably weighted the heaviest, right? If you do a lot of live, you're going to get a lot more promotion. Then you would say like the reels, and then the post, the post. Or is do stories get more weight than posts?
I think stories get more weight than posts because they're easier discoverability. People have to kind of, especially in feed, it's more based on if you're doing paid social to get more traction, or people just discovering you naturally. It's a bit of a higher threshold, if you will. But Instagram stories can go into the discoverability. You can hashtag, you can use geotags, you can tag other people. You can do location stories. So if you want to get discovered in, you know, Los Angeles, New York, Canada, there's a ton of ways to get discovered easier than within feed that gets so bombarded with posts and, you know, people have to actively be searching, whereas Instagram stories are more in your face.
And I think right now, I don't know if you noticed this, but there's been a change with Instagram's algorithm, and it's really changed up how you view the posts. So you have to really, really scroll down the list to find certain people.
So
that's something that I've noticed in the past month. I think it really changed.
And I've noticed stuff coming in later too. Like if I post something in the morning for even Helium 10 on my personal account, it'll pop up later in the day. And I think it's just about that algorithm and what people, you know, in your networks and how people are gravitating towards the content.
Right. Okay. Nathan, when you reach out to an influencer, do you offer them a free product and a payment? Any tips on getting influencers to respond to business inquiries?
I would definitely start. Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I would definitely start with giving a free product. I think a lot of it's all built on relationships. You definitely want to reach out, see how you guys can collab together. This is where the value of having a cool Instagram account comes into play, because people want to work with you. They're going to go back and check you out, if you will. You can definitely offer payment, and definitely getting kind of going into the responding to inquiries, making a name for yourself so people want to work with you. So reaching into those DMs, following up with their websites, their email accounts. A lot of times I'll drop people in their feed. I'll comment on their photos and say, hey, definitely love your content. Would love to collab. Check your DM. So I think it's a really easy threshold. But Norm, what about you? What were you going to say?
No, I agree 100% with what you're saying. And you just got to make sure that your personalities fit too.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Because there's a lot of... And you want to investigate a little bit too, Kelsey, or one of us brought up the fakes. So there's a lot of people that have fake accounts, and if it's too good to be true, you know, then you might want to just shy away from it. But there are also other paid platforms that you can go and find influencers. So influencers are fairly easy to find on your own. But if you want to go to more of a paid platform like Thomason or IntelliFluence, BuzzSumo is another one where I think it's $99 a month, but you could reach out to influencers that way. You can also reach influencers. There's databases for influencers, and you can get that through, we use this database through Cision, I believe. And you can just target people that way. But it's so easy. Oh, and you know Maya Gordon, right?
Yes.
Yes. So she told us a tip when we were talking with her. And she said, if you want to get influencers very inexpensively, work with TikTok. Because influencers that have a ton of followers, they don't charge very much. It's not like the people over on Instagram that will charge a lot more. So that might be another way. And if they have an influencer or other types of social media account, you might be able to get them to post over there as well.
Yeah, definitely. She's a great resource. Very cool, very innovative. I love talking to her. So shout out to her for sure. Shout out to Mayan.
All right. We are at the 45-minute mark.
Okay.
There's
yes,
just
I'm meeting at 10.
One last one from Wasim. He's from Pakistan. He's asking about private labels, labeling. How can we calculate 8-day giveaways on an old listing to rank a product on Amazon page one? Do you know?
Okay, so I think, you know, I will, I'll reach out to you on that one. We'll try to keep this one to social media, but Wasim, I will answer that for you once we get off, okay?
I was going to say, that's a little outside of my wheelhouse, but definitely, hit up Norm, come to Helium 10 Facebook groups. You can ask your questions there.
Perfect. So I have one last one because I know you got to run. Yeah. What are some do's and don'ts?
Oh, well, okay. Norm, you're always like, I know that's such a simple question, but I think there's so much variation depending on what you're doing. Because I don't want to ever shy away and say, oh, don't do this, but it may work out really well for someone else or their audience.
Right.
You know, and even what we were just talking about, you want to have good photography, but then what really people gravitate towards is poor lighting and, you know, off symmetry. Really, I think I'm going to give you this answer. You have to kind of cultivate your own do's and don'ts. There are certain things that I would do when working in entertainment that I really wouldn't apply to the tech industry. And I think you have to look at, again, what is the best practices for your industry, for your Instagram, Facebook, YouTube accounts, Twitter, things like that, and then go from there. Kind of going back to a lot of these tips were straight from Twitter. I say go to the source for best practices. I think you always want to be timely. You always want to be relevant. And that's what they really advocate for. Don't kind of be late in the game. Don't drop off your communications, things like that. Especially now, people are looking for instant gratification. If they have a problem or they want to know about a flash sale or a deal, you know, it's Prime Day. People are, they're quick. And if you don't respond, somebody else will. And there's a lot of competition right now. A lot of new sellers, social media, bloggers. There's a lot of people are inundated with things. So my best tip would be curate your own do's and don'ts, and then also be quick to respond. Community management. It's your number one key to success right there, Norm.
Very good. Just one other quick thing. When you are looking at, let's say you have a recurring product on Prime Day, this is probably a good day that you could bring it up to a break even, because they'll get the product, they'll experience the product, and then they'll come back and buy more. So that's as long as you've got a good product. So this is one of those exceptions. If this is a one-off buy, then you don't want to lose money, of course.
Right.
But I just thought I'd add that because of what I said at the beginning of the podcast. And I want to make that clear, because you could kill it.
Yep.
I sell soap. If I will sell soap at or I will use my break even or more to get people my soap into people's hands.
Yep.
And then they'll definitely come back every 30 days.
Yeah. Especially now with COVID, you need soap in your hands for sure.
Absolutely. Especially fabulous soap.
20 seconds. 20 seconds. Yes.
Yeah. So Cassandra,
what's
that's
up?
It.
That's it. Okay.
Thank you. Awesome. It was easy. I could talk for another 2 hours with you.
I could talk to people.
How do people get a hold of you?
Well, definitely Helium 10, hashtag Helium 10, at Helium 10 Software, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can connect with me at Cassandra_Craven on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. I also have CassandraCraven.com now. I have my own website. Oh. So if you want to learn more, I'm always posting social media blogs, content, things like that. So check that out. Connect with me. And I look forward to hearing from everyone. And I look forward to doing this again, Norm. This is great.
Well, hopefully you're a monthly guest.
I hope so.
The offer's out there.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Cassandra. So thank you very much for being on the podcast today. And I think that's going to wrap it up. Kelsey, where are you?
I'm here. Hello.
All right, sir.
Yes. If you haven't already, please like this episode. You can share it to your friends. If you know someone who's in need of some social media tips for their business, go ahead and tag them. And if you enjoy listening to your podcasts and you don't want to look at our faces, you can find us on Apple and Spotify. Hit the subscribe button. Give us a review. Hopefully 5 stars. And hello, Christine. And
hey, Christine.
Michelle, this was awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. You're very welcome.
And I think that's it for me.
Okay, so that's it. We do have a newsletter It doesn't suck. I say that every day. I want to make it clear that this is not something that we're just have tons of advertising. It has all content. So go there. It's about how to become a better online seller, how to become a better business person. So, and if you have any topics that you would like us to talk about, e-com in general, you know, just any topics at all, let us know and we'll try our best. Or if you're somebody out there that wants to be on the podcast that can offer some insight to the industry, please reach out and we'd love to have you on. So I think that's it for today's episode. And we will see you on Friday with another Canadian, Tony Sagar. And he's going to be talking about local manufacturers and importers. So until then, we'll see you later. 100, 100, 100.